Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series of studies on stewardship. Today, the role of stewardship. We are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Amazing privilege and blessing. I know you'll be blessed as we study together today. And to our team, what a great series this has been. Very practical and very inspiring. And we're glad that we can study. What does it mean to be a steward of the mysteries of God? Amazing privilege. As you're with us today, we know that you'll be blessed as well. And we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Here are just a few emails we've received from some of you. Habimana from Rwanda. Thanks for writing. I had to say that slowly. The capital city of Kigali. He writes, I like Hope Sabbath School and I always download the weekly study. It helps me so much and I share it with other church members. Amen. Yeah, that's what we're about. May God bless you. I hope to see you one day together with our Lord Jesus. Amen. We hope to see you too there. Habimana, Andre, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family there in Rwanda. Have we ever had a letter from Cape Verde? Also called Cabo Verde, depending on the language. Luis writes, he said, I just want to say it's been a blessing. Does anybody know where Cabo Verde is?
Yes,
yes, it's off the coast of West Africa. So Luis writes, Portuguese, right, settlement. What a blessing since I found out about Hope Sabbath School. It gives me a great preparation to share in my Bible study class. Keep up the blessed work. Amen.
Amen.
Luis, thanks for writing to us. And again, I'm so encouraged that we're not just learning, but sharing what we're learning. David writes from Chiapas in Mexico. I want to thank Hope Sabbath School. The classes are very interesting, and it helps me teach in my local church. Amen. Well, we're hearing it one after another. I hope God blesses this ministry. People need to know about the love of Jesus.
Amen.
We would agree with that. I enjoy studying the Holy Bible and at the same time learning English. Well, David, thanks for writing to us. And it's such an encouragement to hear that you're sharing what you're learning with others. Here's a note from a donor who just said, writes, I am praying for the mission of Hope Sabbath School. I enjoy the program. I'm 93 years young.
Amen.
I like that. Sometimes I cannot get to my church. Well, I'm just thankful, and you know your name. Thank you for your support for Hope Sabbath School and for Hope Channel. It's a lifeline to many, not only those who can't get to church, but those who don't even know about church yet, right? Can hear the truth about a God who loves them. Thank you, each one of you, for your support. One last note from Seru in Fiji. And Seru writes, and I know you're thinking, we'd love to go and visit you there, right? Greetings to all from Fiji. I began watching Hope Sabbath School recently, and I found it inspiring, turning my life towards the words of God.
Amen.
Keep on sharing the powerful words. Best wishes, Seru. Well, whether you're from Fiji or from Rwanda or from Mexico, wherever you are, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. In fact, we'd like to invite you to write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. If you've written before, tell us how God's blessing your life as you're sharing what you're learning with other people. And thank you for your support and your prayers for this global evangelistic ministry. But right now, we're going to sing a song. It's 3,000 years old, but it's the theme song for this series. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. It's taken from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. Let's sing it together.
Marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I
You know, I can imagine that we will sing that song when we get to the kingdom of God. But I don't know, are we going to be crying or laughing or both when we stand before the throne and say, I just want to praise you,
Amen,
Lord, with my whole heart. And maybe throughout eternity, we will be sharing all his marvelous works. We will have a testimony of the goodness of God. And in our study today, as we talk about stewardship, not just in terms of our finances, but to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What an incredible privilege. Let's pray the Holy Spirit guides us. We invite you to join with us in prayer as we ask God to bless this study in supernatural ways. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, as we think about being blessed with many gifts, the greatest gift is the truth about you. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, you'd bless each Hope Sabbath School member as we study today. May our lives be grateful, overflowing with joyful thanksgiving. And may we find wisdom and courage to share with others the blessings that you have shared with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to start with one text in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. It speaks about our work as faithful stewards, not just with our finances. Stephanie, would you read that for us?
Sure.
1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Ministers of Christ. Anyone have another translation besides ministers?
Servants.
So, because you might think ministers, that's just a few people. How many of us are servants of Christ?
All of us.
We all are. And we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's talk in our study about what some of those mysteries are. So let's start in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Tricia Lee, if you take us there. The first mystery is the truth about who Jesus Christ is. That's one of the mysteries of God that we're stewards of.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
So who's that talking about? Who is the he?
Jesus.
That's right. If you go back, it's the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is more than just a great teacher. Mm-hmm. He's more than just a social reformer. Mm-hmm. He's God.
Yes.
He is the full revelation of God. He's the creator. Yes. And in him, all things consist. That's not just one verse in the Bible. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. We're talking about being stewards of the mysteries of God. Nicole, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22.
The New International Version says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. What an incredible privilege. And yes. So Christ is described here as the
cornerstone.
Give me that another in other words. He's our foundation. That's right. He's the creator. He's the head. He's the foundation. He's like, there's a text. He's both the Alpha and the
Omega.
He's the beginning and
the end.
Yeah, he's all of the above, right? The first and the
last.
So that's a message that we have to share with the world. We're stewards of the mysteries of God, the importance of Christ, and keeping him then at the very center. So how do we do that? Well, let's look at a few texts that describe that to us, at least from the Apostle Paul's perspective, because he's the one who's been sharing these texts. Galatians 2 and verse 20 and Philippians 1 and verse 21. Galatians 2, Gladys, verse 20. What does the Apostle Paul say?
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Galatians 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So now I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Beautiful. Mm. So what would Paul say if you'd said, Paul, this is one of the mysteries, who Christ is, and he needs to be the very center of our lives.
Yes.
How would Paul answer? How do you keep Christ at the very center? What would Paul say? How does he do it? Nicole?
Well, he gets rid of himself
That's
first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he looks to Christ for his
What passion. Does that really mean? I mean, he obviously isn't mm-hmm. hurting himself. No. Or what does it mean? I have to die and Christ needs to live in me.
Well, it has to be, we have to get rid of the need for satisfying self mm-hmm. and work first on satisfying Christ, who will then through us satisfy the things that we really need.
Okay. Anybody want to add to that? Mm-hmm. Yes, Jason.
It means allowing God to come into you and work his will through you in a very practical sense so that you are a blessing to those you come in contact with. It can happen through prayer, through studying his word. It can even happen through singing scripture songs. It's about the daily connection with Christ.
And there's one word I'm thinking of that we need. We need.
Surrender.
It's surrender, isn't it? But it's not a surrender like some big bully comes and you go, I surrender. Right? It's a loving creator, God, Savior who comes. And we say, God, I surrender to you today, daily, right? Daily. Nancy.
I also, when I was studying this, I had the idea came to me that it's sort of like when we charge our phone, we connect it to the power mm-hmm. source. Mm-hmm. If we don't connect it to the power source, it's going to die. Mm. We have to be connected.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people might say that's kind of North American. No, they have those phones everywhere, right? Yeah. Without plugging into the power source, it will eventually get depleted mm-hmm. and then it will just stop functioning, yeah. right? Philippians 1, verse 21, the same author. Travis, do you have that?
Sure.
Philippians 1, 21. What does the Apostle Paul say there?
Philippians 1, 21, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Mm. Talking about physical death? Mm. Could be, because the next thing he knows, he's going to see right. Jesus, right? Yep. Believes and mm-hmm. taught about the resurrection. Next thing mm-hmm. he'll see Jesus. Mm. But it could also mean... Nicole?
He's dying to self. He's not allowing himself to make decisions.
Yeah. I'm surrendering, mm-hmm. right? For me to live is Christ.
Yes.
Yes, Tricia Lee.
What comes to mind is this famous saying, let go and let God. Mm. And oftentimes we feel like we have a lot when we hold on to things. Mm-hmm. But when we let go of the things that we're holding on to, we're able to open up our arms to really receive Christ in his
Amen.
Fullness. And that is mm-hmm. gain.
So we're talking about being stewards of the mysteries of God. And we tell a person, if you want to really experience life in its fullness, you've got to surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're like, what? That takes some explanation, right? Mm-hmm. But think about your own journey. When did you come to the place when you said, it's got to be a surrender of my life wholly to Christ? That's mm-hmm. really the way to find life in its fullness. Mm-hmm. Did you mark a time in your life when you said, yes, that's... I remember that time. Some of us may have grown up just knowing about Jesus our whole lives, but I think we also have to own it for ourselves, don't mm-hmm. we? Tricia Lee?
For me, it feels like it keeps happening.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel
Does
like...
that make sense to you?
Yeah.
In fact, I think Paul said we ought to do it daily, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
I think
that.
Daily would be wonderful, but I feel like sometimes there are some stretches. But I think that we all have different seasons or times in our life where we're experiencing different things that might be new, mm-hmm. and you realize the different things that you were... that were helping you to be successful before, you need to really ask for more grace from God now in a different phase of your life, different time of your life, different season of your life. And so the things that I was surrendering as a person in high school are not the things I was surrendering in college, are not the things I was surrendering as a young adult, are not the things I'm surrendering as a single person. And so it's just, I feel like every stage and every step, there's more that I'm learning and I'm being called to every day and just at every season and point, just stop and give it to God.
Hmm. Keep Christ at the very center. Anybody else want to share? Travis.
I was sharing with Gladys earlier that the closer we get to Christ, the more we see our imperfections and the more things we realize we need to surrender.
Mm.
And so it's a daily, hourly commitment as we, you know, as we start to realize the glory, the amazing grace of Jesus, the closer we get to Him, we realize our imperfections. Yeah. I have to start in order for us to become like Him. We got to start surrendering.
So, what is the best way? We're talking about being stewards of the mysteries of God.
Yes.
And one of the mysteries of God is the truth about who Jesus Christ is, right?
Yes.
He is the Word who became flesh, the Creator and the Redeemer. He's also our great High Priest and soon coming King. And He not only deserves to be at the center, we need Him at the center of our lives. Mm-hmm. What's the best way, Stephanie, to share that mystery with someone else?
I think our life. Mm. A testimony, and that means that I have to be connected because I can't share something that I don't have.
Right, so you can't just share a theory.
Right. It's got to be real to me because people can tell when it's not real, right? Mm. They can tell. So.
And they can probably even see it if they don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Right? They could come, what is that?
Yes. Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
What is that? Gladys?
I think that, like Stephanie said, has to be something personal. Mm. Sometimes for us, things start going wrong and we don't know why. But when we surrender, God can enlighten us and we can see that that is something that will help somebody else. Sometimes we go through a struggle and we don't understand why. But later on, God will lead somebody to us so we can share what we have learned. And that can be the best gospel message that they can hear.
Now, there's something else that we want to move to after your comment, Jonathan. I'll give you a moment. And that is, there's another mystery that we have. And not only that Jesus was, in fact, God in the flesh, Creator, Redeemer, but that He's doing something right now. We'll come to that right after your comment.
Yeah, I just think sometimes the best way to maybe let other people know is to be maybe open and honest in a way about with our own struggles, so that we're real, so that we don't come across as, okay, we're perfect, whatever. So if people can see the real struggle, then they can see that, oh, Christ is powerful in my life as well. He can be in my life as well because I'm not perfect either. And so connecting with a real person.
In kind of a transparent way?
Yeah.
Okay. Tricia Lee kind of alluded to that when you said, ideally every day, but some days sometimes there are stretches, right? Mm-hmm. When I may forget. Yeah. Travis?
There's a verse in Revelation that goes along with exactly what Stephanie said. It says that they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony in Revelation 12.
Yes. 11. Revelation 12, verse 11, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They love not their lives even unto death. Mm-hmm. So that comes back to that key word, surrender, right? Surrender. It doesn't make sense that in surrendering, you win. Does it? That's counterculture. But when you surrender to a loving God,
Amen.
Who's your Creator and Redeemer, yes. and now we're going to discover He's actually doing something right now for us. Mm-hmm. So let's go to 1 John 2, verse 1, and then to Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Because another mystery of God that we are stewards of is the truth about what Jesus is doing. By the way, where do we find all of these mysteries?
In the Word of God.
They're all in the Word of God. Guided by the Spirit of truth, we discover these mysteries. Mm-hmm. So we're in 1 John chapter 2. Jonathan, would you read verse 1 for us?
Yes, I'll be reading from the New International Version. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so God's ideal for us would be
not to sin.
That we never separate ourselves from His will.
Amen.
We don't ever sin. But He says if that happens, and in the earlier chapter He says if you say it's never happened, you're a liar.
Because
mm-hmm. all have sinned, right?
Right.
And so we should, if you remember verse 9, confess our sins and He will forgive us and
cleanse us
from all unrighteousness. Beautiful text. Now He comes and He says, if we stumble, pray you don't, but if you do, we have
an advocate,
someone on our side.
Amen.
Where?
In heaven.
In heaven?
A great high priest.
Who is it?
Jesus.
Now, Travis, I want you to go to Hebrews because you called out one of the descriptions of Jesus that some people may not know. You said, our great high priest. Mm-hmm. Well, we think of Him as our great Savior. Mm. You know, He's going to be the great judge. All judgment is given to the Son, Scripture says. But what does it say in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16?
Hebrews chapter
14 through 16,
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And more, in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Amen.
So how do we come boldly, Jason, to the throne of grace? How do we do that in real terms? You say Jesus up there. If it was during the ministry of Jesus, you know, can you think of some people who came boldly to Jesus during his ministry?
Yes.
Give me a name of someone.
Nicodemus.
How about the leper who fell at his feet and said what? Lord, if you're willing,
yes,
you can make me clean. Make me clean. Or the Syrophoenician woman who came begging for her daughter. How do we do that now, Jason?
I definitely think quickly when blind Bartimaeus who yelled, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so coming boldly doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be haughty, but it comes a sense of assurance or confidence. We know, we trust in him, and we have faith that he can and has and will make us whole.
Yeah. And how do we do that?
Come boldly through Jesus.
How do we do this, Stephanie?
We can come boldly, it says, because of our high priest.
Right. But how do we do that, Nicole?
Pray.
In prayer.
We pray. That's right. Just, you know, some people may not know. You say, really? You talk to God? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's an amazing thought. During the ministry of Jesus, there was a time Jesus spoke to Simon Peter. And he said, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat.
But I have prayed for you.
Yes.
Wow. Luke 22, 31 and 32. I have prayed for you. Mm-hmm. So did he stop praying?
No.
When he ascended to heaven?
No.
Let's look in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. Nancy, maybe you would read that for us. Romans 8, verses 31 to 34. This is an amazing thought that we have someone in the heavenly courts who is ministering. He's our advocate. Remember that word?
Yes.
What does it say?
It says, this is from the New King James Version. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Mm-hmm. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Isn't that amazing? Amen. I don't know if you've heard that before. I just want to use my favorite Hebrew word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's making intercession for us. That's like he prayed for Peter. So I have a personal question for you. What do you think he's praying for in terms of your life today? Mm-hmm. What's his intercession for you? What do you think? Would it be for different for each one of us, do you think?
Or yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it would be the same goal.
Okay, the same goal,
which would be our salvation, our eternal salvation. But each one of us is going through something different.
Yeah. All right. Anybody, what do you think he's praying for you, Joshua, today?
The word that comes to mind is overcome. When I read this verse in Revelation, it's so powerful. It says, to he who overcomes, I will give the crown of life. Right? Or he who is faithful until death will receive a crown of life, I believe.
You're quoting from Revelation 2 and 3 in the seven churches, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that word overcome, it's like we have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you genuinely want to overcome anything, if that is your true desire, that's strictly between you and God. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like the enemy is no longer relevant in that. Once you decide that, hey, God, you are the path that I want. You are the one that I need. Like after that, nothing can really stop you. And so
with God.
Yeah, with God.
And it's so important to realize that I know we shared this clearly on Hope Sabbath School. We're not talking about overcoming so we can be saved.
Right.
Christ has already redeemed us, right?
Yes.
But he wants us to experience victory.
Yes.
Right? He doesn't want us to be overcome by the enemy, but to be overcomers. Yes, Nicole.
I think he's praying for me to be totally surrendered to him. Mm-hmm. I know Trishili said it earlier about their days where you have your good days and your bad days. And I think that he wants me just in general 24/7 to be surrendered and not believe tomorrow I can do it and then next day I surrender. So just a complete and total surrender every day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to be in charge?
No, because he wants me to save me.
Because he loves us.
Because he loves us.
He really does, yeah.
He wants what's best. Several hands raised. Yes, Travis.
In John chapter 17... 21 and 22, it says Jesus actually prays for us.
Would you read that for us? Give us a moment to find it. John chapter 17.
Yep.
Verses 21
and 22.
Okay, just a moment. John 17.
Actually 20.
Verse 20?
20 to 22.
20 to 22, okay. This is that great prayer. In fact, it is called the great high priestly prayer. He's praying for us there before his crucifixion, but he keeps praying for us, doesn't he? Would you read that? Verses 20 through 22 of John 17.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one.
Wow. And by the way, it just impressed me. It's not simply talking about being one as a group, like of one mind, but being one.
Minded.
Being one.
Body in God.
With him. That's right. You read it. Being as we are one, they would be one in us.
Right.
So it's a unity in Christ, right? That's the ideal. So here's this amazing idea that Jesus is praying for us. Anyone else? One last. What's he praying, Michael?
Well, what I appreciate from these verses is that it gives me power in knowing that Jesus is there for me or is interceding on my behalf.
Yeah.
And so then I can walk boldly as we just read, mm-hmm. and come to him even if I struggle or if I stumble.
Mm. You know, we have a house of prayer at my home on Wednesday nights. And one of the songs we sing means so much to me. It says, he knows my name. Mm-hmm. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. Mm-hmm. And he hears me when I call. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because I think many people don't understand how personal our Savior is. Mm-hmm. And he's not dead. He's alive.
Amen.
And he's praying for us. He's interceding. He's our advocate. That's another... mystery of God, to use the language of 1 Corinthians 4:1. We are stewards of those mysteries. Mm. How many people do you know that need to know that? Mm. That there's a God who knows them by name and he's praying for them.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Nancy?
I have to share something. So in the morning when I'm just getting up, God speaks to me. He gives me assurances and messages. And one morning... I woke up and this song came into my head that I hadn't heard in years. It's a Spanish song that was translated from the English hymnal that was one of my grandmother's favorite hymns.
It just came to my mind waking up.
Why am I thinking of this song?
We all want to know what it was.
It's Dios cuidará de ti, which means God will take care of you.
Oh, yes. And Be not dismayed.
Yes.
Whatever betide, right?
Right.
God
That's
will
right.
take care of
That's
you.
That's right. I don't know the words in English. I just know it in Spanish.
I don't know it in Spanish. Trust me. But God will take care of you.
That's right. But then what happened is I just kept thinking of the song. And then later that morning, I put on Hope Channel and I put on... Dwight Nelson was preaching at Pioneer Memorial Church, the sermon that he has at midday. And then he was preaching, I forget, about the widow that Elijah came to anyway. And then he says, you've heard that song, God will take care of you. The same
that
song
you woke up with.
That I woke up, sing, you know, that God put in my mind. And I just thought... Wow. He's telling me twice, you know, I don't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. He will take care of me. And he's letting me know in all kinds of ways. Mm. It was fantastic.
That's very Amen. Personal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that the picture of God most people have, do you think?
No, not everyone.
Some do. Mm-hmm. But we need to tell. We are stewards of the mysteries of God,
yes.
right? So I want to look at another mystery. There are many, of course. But another mystery of God is found in John 5:39. And then Luke 24 expounds on that. Many people who may have heard of Jesus, by the way, I don't think anyone can say he never existed. There's just too much evidence that he existed. Some may even say he was a good teacher. But Jesus makes a remarkable claim, which I think many people don't know, and perhaps even many Christians don't know, about the Bible. Alex, do you have John 5 and verse 39?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but that word, search, can either be a present imperative, like you have in the King James, or it can be a present indicative, like you search the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Anybody have that translation?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the same Greek word. You search, and I think that's actually in this setting a better translation, because it says you search because you think in them you have eternal life. But where's eternal life found?
Jesus.
And what claim does Jesus make in that verse?
That they testify of him.
That the Scriptures, by the way, what Scriptures did they have at that point?
The Torah.
The Hebrew Scriptures, right? Yeah. These Scriptures, he said, they testify about me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, I wish I could have been there and said, show me. But actually, there is a text in Luke 24. And Joshua, if you could find that.
Sure.
Luke 24. I've studied this passage quite a bit and thought, oh, I wish I was there for this Bible study. But Amen. It confirms what Jesus said in that one sentence to the Jewish leaders in John 5:39. In Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, the setting, resurrection morning.
Yes.
The location,
road to
a place called Emmaus. We don't know where that is anymore, but it was about what? How many miles?
Seven.
Was it? 7 miles, okay, from Jerusalem. And two disciples are walking, and a third person shows up. And we know who that was. They don't recognize him at first. But here's some narrative, verses 25, did I say, through 27.
Yes. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself.
So he started with Moses. Where's Moses' book?
Genesis.
Right. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? Mm-hmm. And some might argue Job's in there too somewhere, because many think he was the author of Job. So starting at the beginning and going through the prophets, and actually later in Luke 24, it says he did it again in the upper room. He did the Bible study and the Psalms, it said. And he showed that all of these things pointed to him. What about the New Testament?
Point back to him.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Hebrew Scriptures point to forward, and the New Testament Scriptures point
backwards.
Back and present, right? Still happening, like the book of Acts, still happening.
There's even a verse in Revelation describes as the two witnesses, Old and New Testament.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So they're all pointing to Jesus. Now, if this is one of the treasures of God, all of God's revelation finds its fullness in Jesus, that means any Bible teaching we share should have Jesus at the center.
Amen.
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 Huh?
Amen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the angels would go, why are you saying it like that? Because it's all about Jesus. So take an important Bible teaching. Just give me one.
Sabbath.
Okay, take the Sabbath. I thought you were going to say the second coming. that certainly got Jesus at the center, right? Real Jesus. This same Jesus. Mm-hmm. People who say, oh, the second coming of Jesus is just when he comes into your heart. Mm. No. Real Jesus is at the center of the glorious return, right?
Amen.
But Tricia Lee, you mentioned the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. We know the Sabbath was given at creation.
Yes.
We're told to remember the Sabbath because of Creator. Mm-hmm. But how would keeping Jesus at the center affect the way we view the Bible teaching about Sabbath?
We can take his own words where he says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And he says to come unto me, all those who labor and are heavy laden, he'll give you rest.
And that's the Sabbath word, isn't
it? That is the Sabbath word. And so it's just also a message that we don't just lay down our physical burdens. We have to also rest in him spiritually and trust that his provision will meet our needs for salvation, that we're not working our way to heaven. So Christ is in the Sabbath, not just that we get to spend time with him, but also that he gives us rest from trying to work out our own way ourselves.
Let's just pause a moment on that. Is there anyone that grew up not viewing the Sabbath that way as special time with Jesus and that it changes when you see Christ is at the center? Mm-hmm. It's his day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody have a testimony of that? No. Okay.
I do.
Okay, Travis. And by the way, you know, God meets us all. Maybe someone's watching Hope Sabbath School. They said, well, I just thought it was to honor him as our creator. It is. But what would it look like with Jesus at the center? How did that change for you?
I used to view the Sabbath as something I had to do, but now I view the Sabbath as something I get to do. In Exodus chapter 8, he says, keep the Sabbath because of creation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, keep the Sabbath because you've been freed from bondage. And the New Testament language that's used, if we're in Christ Jesus, we become a new creation. And he set us free from the slavery to sin. So each week it's a reminder that I don't have to be a slave to sin. And then if I trust in Jesus fully, I am a new creation. And I get to celebrate that every week.
So that's we're stewards of that mystery of God. That it's not just an obligation, but it's a time because Christ is at the center. Jason, can you think of another? I mean, there's many teachings in the Bible. And Jesus, when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, didn't he say teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you? So can you think of another teaching and you say, this is precious when Christ is at the center?
One of the ones that we often don't think of in connection with Jesus is teaching on healthful living. Uh-huh. And it does say in the Bible that our bodies are God's temple. But oftentimes, when I think of healthful living, I hear, oh, you have to eat this, you need to do this. It's all about almost...
And you can't eat that,
yes.
Right?
It's almost all about, like, for me only and my body and this temporal world and not about the eternal, the reason why I'm acting this way.
So how would you say keeping Christ at the center of wanting to care for my body would change the perspective?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One, if my body is healthier, I'm able to have more energy and I'm able to share Christ's love with those around me. And also, if I'm healthier, I'm able to be a blessing physically to other people, whether it's taking care of them or whether it's feeding them food that will help them. And sharing this teaching as well can also have them live a more active, healthy lifestyle as well. And then and having a better lifestyle can also help with your connection with Christ.
So one more Bible teaching, Jonathan, makes a difference when we realize Christ is at the very center.
Yeah, I'm thinking of kind of the doctrine of living together in church community. So including kind of how we are to try to follow the leaders that God puts in the church and try to be leaders. But, I mean, that can kind of go both ways. You can kind of get a picture of leadership or of following or not following that does or does not demonstrate Christ's character. But when Christ is there, it's self-sacrificial on both sides. It's this coming together. It's this mutual submission that shows both Christ's willingness to obey the Father unto death and Christ laying himself down for those he led. And so that picture of how we live together in unity has to have Christ at the center.
And I'm thinking of some texts that the leader says, well, actually, Jesus is the leader. He's the head. And the follower says, well, God's put you there, but I'm really following Jesus and not following you. So Jesus at the center affects it all, doesn't it? Amen. Well, we looked at three mysteries. We talk about being stewards of the mysteries of God as servants of Christ. The truth about who Jesus is, the Word of God, became flesh, creator, redeemer. What he's doing now as our high priest. And also the fact that he's the center of really all of the revelation of God.
Amen. Amen.
He's the center of all of the revelation. We need to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But one last mystery of God that we have to share as stewards is the truth about what Christ is doing now and what will soon happen. That is the last warning message. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to Revelation, Michael. If you could read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. You know, some people think, Revelation, forget it, can't understand it. But it's interesting how it begins with a promised blessing, and then we're going to look at a last warning message, and we're stewards of that mystery of God.
Yes, Revelation 1, 1 to 3 from the New King James Version. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near."
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amen. Amen. What, who's the blessing promised to?
Those who read and hear.
Anybody who reads.
Yep. Or hears.
And anybody who hears.
And keeps.
Now, that's everybody. You say, well, I can't read. It's okay. I'll read it for you, right? Blessing to whoever reads and whoever hears. And it's the revelation of Jesus Christ of what must shortly come to pass. And part of that message is in chapter 14. And I'm going to ask Joshua if you'd read that for us. Verses 6 through 12. Now, there's a lot. There's the message of the angels to the seven churches. And there's all kinds of revelation in there. I love the one where they cry out, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever." I love that. I'm going to sing that when I stand before the throne. I hope I can sing better. I think angels will sing with us. So there's a lot of awesome things. And that they overcame the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That means trusting in our Savior and the word of our testimony. That is how we've experienced that living connection with him. Mm-hmm. Then we get to chapter 14, which is a last day message.
Yes.
The reason we know it's last day is because it marks it even in the message. So let's start with verses 6 and 7, if we could. Okay. Revelation 14, 6 and 7.
And the Bible says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'"
Now, this is a call. The word fear in my Bible, you know, that can be taken one of two ways. Fear can mean to be afraid. And there are times when the word's used that way, when they're afraid and call for the rocks to fall on them. Mm-hmm. Fear can also mean
respect.
Reverence.
Reverence or respect. Mm-hmm. How do I know that this call is a call not to be afraid, but reverence and respect God? Anybody? There's a clue in the verse itself, Travis.
He says, "Fear God to give glory." Right.
And give glory and?
And worship.
Worship. Okay. So this is not be afraid. This is show reverence and respect, right? Yes. And who is he, this God?
The creator.
He's the creator, right? Mm-hmm. Who made the heavens and the earth. So show reverence and respect to God. This is the last message. And why is it so urgent? In a previous study, we picked up a couple of words that showed the urgency. What were they? Do you remember? What are some?
Loud voice.
Crying out.
Loud.
How?
Flying.
Loud voice and flying, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this sense of urgency. Why? Why is it so urgent to call people to reverence and respect? In other words, to recognize God for who he is. And that is the loving creator who wants to save them, right? Mm-hmm. Why is it so important?
Because it's the last time message. The world is going to be over.
Because?
Judgment
the hour of his judgment has come. Before Christ returns, there is a judgment, and then he's going to say, according to Revelation, three words, it is finished. Now, it's interesting, he said that on the cross too, didn't he? Mm. Yeah. So that phase of his work was finished. But there's this phase now which leads right to the glorious return. Mm-hmm. It is finished. Then the one who is filthy...
Filthy still.
There's this settling at that point. So there's this sense of urgency. Yes. And then it goes on, and I'm going to ask you to keep reading, Joshua, verses 8 through 12. And this is troubling language, but it tells us that there's going to be this great struggle between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And we have to choose where to stand. If you'd read on verses 8 through 12 of Revelation chapter 14.
And the Bible continues on to say, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Wow.
It's intense words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't have time to study the whole what the mark of the beast and what this... We don't have a time to study all of that, but there is in Revelation the seal of God and the mark of the beast. The seal of God is in the forehead. The mark of the beast can be in the forehead or on the hand. So I think that's where they actually believe it, and this is just they do it. But you don't get the seal of God on your hand. It's in your forehead. So... regardless of all the details about that, we're talking about being stewards of the mysteries of God. We are calling people to take their stand
for the Creator.
Now, for the Creator. And to
worship
Him. And by the way, the sign of that worship is the Sabbath day. I mean, that's right in the fourth commandment, right? But it's not the Sabbath day that sets us apart. That's just a sign that we've taken our stand, allegiance.
Right. Amen.
The seal of God versus the mark. And there's this sense that it's really urgent. Who are we to take that last warning message to the world? I mean, why doesn't God ask the angels to do that, Nancy? I'm sure they could do it with much more clarity and power. Why does he ask his people in the last days to bring that urgent warning message?
Well, in our weakness, he is strong. I think it has more of an impact if we who are fallen are sharing this message with another fallen human being.
Then maybe writing it in the sky or...
Right.
He could have done that, right? He wrote on walls in Babylon, right?
Yeah. That's true.
Anybody else? Why did he give this job? I mean, this is so important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The hour of his judgment has come. You got to cry out with a loud voice, Stephanie.
It's just like when you're giving a Bible study, you're impacted by it as well, and you have to study. And so that the Word of God is changing your life, and then when you're sharing with someone else, it's changing their life as well. So I think it's a double blessing.
So I'm thinking where Jesus, when he's speaking about being ready for his return, he says, be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't say get ready. Mm-hmm. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Are you telling me, Stephanie, that actually sharing this last warning message helps us day by day to be ready?
Amen. Absolutely.
How does it do that?
Because I'm getting ready in the meantime while I'm helping someone else, and I'm developing that one-on-one relationship with God, and I have to have that.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's being ready, right? Yes. Yes. If we are connected in a personal saving relationship with God, we're ready.
Amen.
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 But he's got some work for us to do, so I want to give a chance for some people to share a testimony. where you say, who am I to be a steward of the mysteries of God? Mm-hmm. The truth about who Jesus is, he's the Christ, God who became flesh. The truth about the fact that he's praying for us right now. Mm-hmm. The truth about the fact that all revelation is centered in him. Mm-hmm. And the truth about the fact that the judgment is at hand. The judgment's come and he's soon to say it is finished. Mm-hmm. Who are we? You say, well, we're the people that God asked to do it. To change us maybe or to bless us. I want someone to share, it's time for a few testimonies, where you stepped out and said, I know it's not me, but God's asked me to do this. You shared and how it impacted your life. Someone have a testimony. Travis.
We 2 years ago, we were in South America and we went up an hour boat ride every day upriver to a little church in the jungle called the Blackwater Church.
Which country were you?
In South America, in Guyana.
In Guyana, yep. Okay. So you go up this river, yep. Away from a lot of civilization.
Way away from civilization. Okay. We had to fly to get to the village.
Oh, and fly then, to the river,
and
okay.
Then, and then to go up, right.
Okay.
And for 2 weeks, we worked on a dock because it's tidal waters, and we built this dock so that people could come to the church because when the water was low, they couldn't get in. You had to walk through waist-deep muck and mud to get to the church if the water was low. So we built a wharf to the river, and we held an evangelistic series. And the first day, there was probably 30 or 40 people there. And by the end, the last day that we were, the last Saturday we were there, was over 130 people. Ooh. And we left there, tears in our eyes and tears in their eyes as we departed. My heart still goes out to the Blackwater Church in Guyana. I still think about them a lot.
Now, I have a question for you. Mm. Was the building of the wharf out into the river part of the evangelistic meetings or just getting ready for it, Mike? What do you think?
Definitely part of it.
Part of it. What was it saying to the people?
We care.
We want you to hear. We have something really important to share with you. So we're going to build a wharf to get out so you don't have to wade through the mud. All right? And for those of you sitting in the front row that didn't see, he was like beaming when he was sharing. It changed you.
Yeah, it did.
It changed them. But it changed you, being a part of sharing that. Gladys, I noticed you raised your hand, too.
Yes, I go to a prison ministry every month.
You go to a prison?
Yes. Every month we go to a prison. And preaching the mysteries of God to prisoners, when you tell them that he gives you freedom, it has a double meaning for them.
Sure.
When God gives you comfort and peace, it has another meaning to them. And it's just amazing how they embrace this knowledge when they know that there's a God who cares. Like you were mentioning before, that will see, that knows my name, that sees my tears. Mm. And to hear from somebody who's struggling as well in their own different captivity and their own different struggles, it just brings it together.
Beautiful. And there's a lot of people in prison who aren't in the jail.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who need to know that Jesus can set them free.
Mm-hmm.
But, you go there once a month.
Yes.
And how has that impacted you?
It is the best Sabbath service for me.
Really?
Because when they sing, it is like the best song service ever. When they sing Redeem, I cry every single time. Mm-hmm. Because they sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you can hear that they believe those words.
Mm-hmm. I remember being at a prison in Papua New Guinea, and they said it was pretty dangerous there. There were lots of fences before I got in. And I went and we held a meeting there in that prison. And, some of those people were in there for murder and armed robbery and all kinds of things. But that they've been changed by the power of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So maybe they were more free than some of the people on the outside. When we go and share that message, our own hearts change. Did I see someone else's hand raised? Jonathan.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I went on a trip. A bunch of people here at the General Conference were organizing to go to India. And it was a wonderful experience. We went to a part that doesn't have that many Christian churches. And had a chance to meet and give a presentation. And each of us were in our own church by ourselves.
So you were preaching?
Yeah.
So I want to push time out just a second. How in the world did you agree to go and to be one of the main presenters proclaiming a last day warning message in India? How did that happen?
Well, I mean, actually, I'd done it once before with my dad, but that was the scary part, the first time.
Okay.
But yeah, it was an awesome experience. They kind of have it so that they have the whole thing laid out for you. But it's amazing to see kind of how God uses you, how God teaches you, how you're being this vessel and you're learning. And especially that time, I just felt like kind of each progressing through God helping me see things in a much deeper way and able to share these truths we're talking about, the end time truths, in a way that just made it all make sense to me and able to share with others. So it was an awesome experience. And you're part of the community. You become part of this family as you're each day making friends with the kids, going out visiting their homes,
eating
with them. Yeah. And it was learning, singing with them. I actually learned a song in the language there. And so it was Tamil. Yeah. So it was beautiful.
So that reminds me of what Travis said, that he was blessed maybe as much as they were.
Oh, yes.
Or at least you were both blessed. And you experienced that too.
Amen.
I wish we had more time to share a takeaway lesson. 5 words. What's the lesson? Stewards of the mysteries of God, what should we do?
God can use us.
Shall we share them?
Yes.
Shall we share them?
Yes.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't keep these mysteries of God to yourself. The truth about Jesus and who he is. The truth about what he's doing even now on our behalf. The truth about him as the fullness of the revelation of God. It's all pointing to him. And the truth about, yes, the judgment, his glorious return, a last warning message. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's not keep them to ourselves. In fact, we cannot. When we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us each day, we must share. God will show us how to do that. Let's pray that can happen for us even in these coming days. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled, we are amazed that you would make us stewards of the mysteries of God, and yet you have given the revelation to us because you love us not only for our salvation, but that we would join you in sharing that good news with the world. And God, we have heard from these testimonies how when we do that, we are blessed in return. We experience the joy that is in your heart when people turn to you and know you as the God of love, the Creator, Redeemer, and soon coming King that you are. So thank you. May we have the courage by your Spirit to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We've got work to do. We've got mysteries to share to bless the lives of those around us.